We'll have some slides up in a minute. That last bit about the glory of Jesus, you know? And isn't he good? Yes, yes, yes. Isn't he good?
Yes.
Isn't he exciting? Don't you just like him? Don't you just sort of like it when you sense his presence, when you feel him do stuff, when you know he's around? Is that cool?
Yes.
Yeah? It's for us all, if we want. So I'll leave you with that for the moment. Might just put the first slide up. I'm going to actually shout for the slides as we go, if that's all right. Thanks very much. Because the only clicker, there's normally a clicker which I can't use, but I've got one for the window blinds. So I can make it go dark or light, but that's about it. I was asked by Susanna for a title for this earlier on this week, and I couldn't give her one. And then I kind of got one as I started preparing this. So just palms or coats or what? I'm going to read you a little bit of the story about Palm Sunday. And just as we do this, lots of us actually, in preparing this, I got people sent me one or two things about Palm Sunday and the animated little sort of cartoony things you get of Jesus on a donkey and kids in brightly colored clothes waving things and so on, which I've ignored and just set to one side. But I just want you to actually not see it as just something you saw long ago in pictures in a children's Bible or whatever. I want you to begin to see this as a real event. With real people, real human beings, real palm trees, real coats, real mess, real smell, whatever. This is a real event, and we just want to talk through this. So I'm just going to read this little bit out from John chapter 12, and it's verse 9, and it's 10 verses following on from verse 9, if you want to read it with me. And I almost gave you the wrong translation there. Right. What I'm going to use is the Passion Translation, which is rather good. All right. Actually, I've got time. I'm just going to divert slightly, if this is all right. I was in a meeting last week where Jared Cooper was speaking, and he just brought one verse from Psalm 23, which is from the Passion Translation. And somebody had said to me before I needed to look at it, at this psalm, in this translation. And because of that, I did have a look, and actually it's come out a few times recently. So let me just read this to you, because we're focusing on Jesus, all right? And this is about him. And you all know Psalm 23, don't you? And you all know, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and so on. Right, well, this is just slightly different. It's the same psalm, just a better way of expressing it. The Lord is my best friend. Okay, this is about Jesus. He's my best friend and shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. This is Jesus. This is who we're talking about. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure. He leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor to his name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, and I love this next bit, fear will never conquer me, because you already have, all right? Fear will never conquer me because he already has, okay? You remain close to me and lead me through all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I will never be lonely because you are near. You become my delicious feast. Even when my enemies dare to fight, you anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of you until my heart overflows. He gives us all that we can drink of him until our heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? Why? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterwards, when my life is through, I return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. Is that good? Cool? Right. So there you go. So you're getting two scriptures this morning for the price of one. So back to where I was supposed to be, which is John chapter 12, verse 9. And this is the account of the Palm Sunday. And this is when Jesus approached Jerusalem for the last time in his life. It says, when the word got out that Jesus was not far from Jerusalem, a large crowd came out to see him, and they also wanted to see Lazarus, the man that Jesus had raised from the dead. This prompted the chief priests to seal their plans to do away with both Jesus and Lazarus, because his miracle testimony was incontrovertible and was persuading many of the Jews living in Jerusalem to believe in Jesus. The next day, the news that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem swept through the massive crowd gathered for the feast. So they took palm branches and they went out to meet him. And everyone was shouting, "Lord, be our Savior. Blessed is the one who comes to us, sent from Jehovah God, the King of Israel." Then Jesus found a young donkey and he rode on it to fulfill what was prophesied. And this was the bit that was prophesied. "People of Zion, have no fear. Look, it's your king coming to you riding on a young donkey." And that was written in the Old Testament, foreseeing this event. So Jesus' disciples didn't fully understand the importance of what was taking place. But after he was raised and exalted into glory, they understood how Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies in the scriptures that were written about him. All the eyewitnesses of the miracle Jesus performed when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead kept spreading the news about Jesus to everyone. The news of this miracle of resurrection caused the crowds to swell, as great numbers of people welcomed him into the city with joy. But the Pharisees were disturbed by this, and they said to each other, "We won't be able to stop this. The whole world's going to run after him." Okay. And hopefully the whole world will run after him. That was the plan. Okay. So, if you just put the next slide up. So this is a real event, real people. And I haven't got a map, but I just want you to imagine for a minute. So, and I'm going to face this way to do it. But imagine that Jerusalem is like a big, if the back wall's a map, Jerusalem's like a big square. There, all right? And somewhere over down here at the bottom is Bethany, where Jesus was, where he stayed the night, all right? And he's coming up to Jerusalem. And if you look at that big square, which is Jerusalem, over in this corner, the northeast corner is the temple, all right? On the other side, right across at the other corner, is Herod's palace, all right? Just below the temple on this side, near the top, is the gate that Jesus entered in by, which is now called, referred to as the Golden Gate, which has been sort of rebuilt years later. But at that time, it was known as the Mercy Gate, which is interesting, isn't it? But just let that one go. But that was his route. All right, and that was the city that he was riding into. Below all that, you've got shops and houses and streets and Primark and Marks and Spencers and all the rest of it, okay? So, where are we? So the crowds came out to see him when he was, initially, this is the day before, they came out to see him when he was some way out from the town, and the next day, a bigger crowd, hello, sorry, somebody's sending me text, I need to say. Turn the sound off. Right. Next day, a bigger crowd came out. Why did they come out? Next slide, please. It says his miracle testimony, which is about what he did with Lazarus and how he raised Lazarus from the dead, was incontrovertible. Couldn't argue with it. And it wasn't just, well, did this happen, didn't it happen? Couldn't argue with it. So many people had seen it. There's a crowd had watched it happen. And actually, miracle testimonies are undeniable. And there's a few things I just want to pick out as we go through all of this. And the first thing is that miracle testimonies are undeniable because they reveal who Jesus is. I'm just going to tell you two short stories from this week if you want two short stories. Okay. Yes, please. Okay. First one is Nikki Petty is in hospital at the moment. So she's got something wrong with her heart. It's a heart arrhythmia. So she ended up in the coronary ward in the RVI. So we went to visit her. Barbara was there. I was there. And Rachel was there. And there was just so much laughter and carry on. They'd never heard so much laughter on a coronary ward before in their lives. And the more so when Audrey came on the phone. I mean, it was just like... But actually, the whole thing, and often, you know, when we're together, our conversation is not about... Well, it's obviously not about sport. I'm totally uninterested. But it's, and we do talk about mundane things and the day-to-day stuff, but often we just talk about what God's doing and all of that, you know. And it was really good. This nurse came in just to do a questionnaire with Nikki, and she's going through all this stuff, and we're just laughing and carrying on, you know, and interjecting bits and so on. And then she goes, "So who are these people? Are they family?" And Nikki goes, "Well, yeah. Well, no. Well, they're church. Well, yes, they're family," you know. And obviously, this nurse never come across people from a church like this. And then just in the conversation, and I just said to her, you know, if God could do something for you, what would you ask for? And she couldn't think. She said, well, you could. There's some people that could have just come back to life. And then she said, no, on second thoughts, perhaps not. So... So, I don't know what that's about, but she was challenged by the thing, and she thought about it, and we left, and then Nikki sort of kept engaging with her and challenged her just to think a little more deeply about the question. Then Nikki just came back and said, around us, did we have any prophetic words for this girl? And we each got something, which she sent back, and Nikki just gave to her. Which just kind of opened things up for her because it was stuff about who she was and it was accurate and it was right and it was God. All right? Because we'd only seen her for a minute, you know? And it's God. And this is, and so for her, that's something miraculous that just opens up for her. So that was really good. And the other story is I was just on the street the other day and I was talking to a young couple, a guy and a girl who were selling energy. So has anybody bought from Octopus this week? No? Right. Okay. I'm not offering any guarantees whether they're good or bad. But there's nothing wrong with the people who are doing it for a living. And I was just letting them talk to me a bit about the deal and so on. But I know what I'm doing with energy, so that's all right. And then I just said, the guy was called Ellis, a young lad, and the girl was called Amy. And I just said to her, Ashley, if God could do something for you, what would you ask for, you know? Is that an easy question to ask? Yeah? Can you say that? Right, say it after me. If God could do something for you, what would you ask for? See, it's an easy question, all right? So she couldn't think of anything really. She had a sore throat, and we came back to that. But he pipped in and said, I'd like to be happy. I'd like happiness. I would ask for happiness. And he looked quite cheerful, actually. And I said, well, you're quite happy now. And he said, yeah, I'd like it all the time. And I just said, you know, if it was like that all the time, you wouldn't appreciate it, would you? Because your happiness goes up and down. You appreciate the high spots, and you remember them, and you know what it looks like. And you know when you're fulfilled, and you know when you're satisfied, because it dips up and down, okay? And he got that, and that was cool, and I left them for a bit and asked her to carry on thinking. And came back later on, after I met somebody else, came back, had a little more conversation and chat with them. And they were really quite open, it was nice, you know, just a nice little conversation. Prayed for her throat, and prayed for them, actually, to get 3 sales, because that's what the target is, 3 sales a day. So why not? It's a legitimate business. The next day I saw them on the street, and he was leaning against one of those cast iron bollards. And he had pain in his back. He'd sort of really appear. And I said, what's the matter? And he said, pain up here. And I said, can I just pray for that? And he was just straight on it, you know? He said, yeah, come on. And actually, the thing I forgot was the day before he said, actually, I'd like to believe that there is a God, but I'm not really sure. And I just said, well, that's easy. You just say to him, I don't know if you're there or not. I don't know if you're real or not, but if you are, just show yourself to me. And if you're here this morning, you're saying, I don't really know if God's real or not. I've not really met him. Just say, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you are, just show yourself to me. And he will. You put the ball in his court. So nothing more to worry about. He does the rest. Okay? And so I said to this guy, well, you can do that. And he said, yeah, I think I will. Hold me to that. I'll do it. So the next day, anyway, he's got this back pain. I prayed for his back, and the pain went instantly. And you could just see the look on his face. Like, it's really cool when this happens. They just look, like, shocked and amazed and pleasure as well, because the pain's gone. It's just fun, really. And then she says, oh, well, you can pray for my shoulder. She didn't tell me about that the day before. So I prayed for her shoulder, and the pain went just instantly, and she was just completely back to normal, you know? And that's not me. That's God. All right? All I did is say the words, and he does the stuff, you know? And that's just really good. But it's incontrovertible. And from that point, there then started some conversation. Actually, I shared the gospel with him, just explained what it was, and what Jesus has done for them, and what they can do if they want to step into that, and so on. And they got it, and they understood it. And it's because of what he's done. The miracle testimony opens up the way so often. All right? So that's your two stories. And actually, any of us could have done that. It just happened that I was the one that was walking down the street at the time. But any of us could have done that, you know? Put the next slide up. I'll speed up a bit now. So if we go back to the story, we've got this crowd. And they were there for different reasons. So some came out of the city because they wanted to see Jesus. Some had heard about Lazarus. They wanted to see him and see if this guy really was alive or if he was still in bandages being carted around or what, you know. Most of them were there for the Feast of the Passover. And that's really why most of them had gathered in Jerusalem. And there was a sense of expectation, even if at just its basic level, as we have a sense of expectation at Christmas or a holiday time or whatever. But there was all that going on. Next slide, please. Next one. Thank you. So they laid out, it says they laid out palms and they laid out coats on the ground. Some of them, they welcomed him as a king and he promptly disappointed them. So they're sort of saying, you know, this is our king. This is the guy who's going to release us from Roman rule. This looks very promising indeed. We quite like this guy as a king. Because actually, it's not really the done thing when you've got the Romans ruling you to be sort of shouting somebody else up as king. You know, it's not polite to Caesar, if nothing else. So he goes through the gate into the city, and I think in their heart of hearts, they're expecting him just to go straight ahead and find Herod's palace. You know? And he turned right and went in the temple. And at that point, I think they were disappointed. Days later, many of the same people are shouting, crucify him, because he didn't live up to their expectations. And actually, there's something in there for us. Sometimes he disappoints us because he doesn't live up to our expectations or what we want. And then we get disappointed. And we don't quite say, crucify him, but we just say, sort of, just away with him a bit, you know? I'm not going to get so close to you, you know? But actually, it's because we haven't recognized what he's about and what he wants, and we've confused it with what we want. And just put the next one up, please. So, some people laid out palm branches. The palm branches are very easy to come by, unless the trees are really tall, but they're not always all that tall. The top ones snap off very easily. I've trimmed palm trees in the past when I lived in the Middle East. The bottom ones you need a saw, but they're not that hard to come off. And they're easily available. And some of them laid out cloaks on the street, and some of them just shouted, probably. But I'll just tell you this little story that Neil told me. So when Neil was teaching in school, he'd been saying to the kids, actually, this story's a bit like laying out a red carpet for Jesus. So what would you lay out? What would you lay on the street for Jesus to walk on? And one of the kids said, the rest of the children. okay. So, but in that, there's something in that. What would you lay out for him? You know, would you lay out something that's cheap and easily got? A coat that's replaceable? Or something that's more irreplaceable? The thing is, what you would lay out to welcome him depends on how well you know him, actually. And what you would lay down for him to come in your life depends actually on how well you know him and how well you trust him. So we're just going to go into that a little bit. The next slide. So we've got various groups of people in this room. We've got some who may have just only heard about Jesus. They've heard people talk about him. They've maybe had stories. They've been to church even perhaps. And that was me for many years. And you've just heard about him, but that's all. There are some who are acquainted with him. And there'll be some people in this room who are acquainted with him, which means they've met him. All right? And he's changed their lives to a certain extent, but it's an acquaintance. It's something that's still that bit distance. You can be acquainted with somebody. You can go for coffee with them, can't you? So you know them to a degree, or you can be married to them, or you can have a super close friendship or whatever. And that there's a difference. And for some of us, there are some people in this room who are just really at that acquaintance stage. They don't really know him. And then there are others here who actually know him, really know him. And I'm saying not intellectually here. So I'm not saying know stuff about him, but actually know him. Just the same way as you really know your best friend. Okay? So next slide. And the question there is, which are you in those three categories? All right? So for a moment, I just want to just think a little bit about who is this man who's riding into town with everybody shouting and throwing palm leaves and coats in front of him. Because there's a question for us, what would we give him? So who is this man? Because, you know, if somebody rings you up and says, give me lots of money, you'd probably just say no. But if it's somebody you know, you might think, well, I could help you, you know? So who is this man? He's gentle, he's caring, he's strong, he's powerful, he's a healer of the sick, restorer of minds and bodies, he's fun to be with, and I bet he was, and he still is, I know he is. He's compassionate, he's committed to people, he's a complete disregarder of tradition, which is fun. He's a fierce defender of the poor. He's a man with an enormous father's heart, and he's able to do outstanding miracles that always point to the love of Father God. He's outrageous. He does outrageous stuff. He does outrageous stuff now. He's full of grace, mercy, and truth. He's humble. What kind of a description is that for somebody who's a king? Humble. But that's Jesus' own description of himself, humble of heart. He loved children. We were just talking about this the other day. You know when the disciples brought the kids and actually eventually after trying to shush them away, they eventually then brought them, let them sit on Jesus' knee. You got this picture like Jesus just sat in the marketplace on a nice stone seat and he plunks the child on his knee and goes, oh, bless you, you know, next one, oh, bless you, you know. I bet he didn't. I bet he was tickling them. I bet he was chucking them around a bit. Yeah? What do you do with kids when you get them on your knee? Hey? Come on. So why wouldn't he? Trustworthy. Absolutely trustworthy. Yeah, just nearly dropping, you know, a bit of fun. Absolutely trustworthy, faithful. And before we go to the next slide, just pause a minute. There's a little verse. If you read the story of creation in Genesis, and it talks about all the things that God made, and then this little, I think it's a five-word phrase that comes up just in passing, and it says, and he made the stars also. So, next slide. Oh, he also made the stars. Just in passing. Oh, that's something else he did. All right? So, who is this man? Who is Jesus? He's not just some historical character that went through a story that we read about. He's all those things that are said about him, but he's more, much, much more. And actually, these pictures just don't do any justice, really. You want a massive full-size screen. He just did that, just in passing. If you look in Colossians, it talks about how he created and sustains everything. There's two more of these slides. Just put them up. Next one. He also made the stars. All right. This is the one who wants to just come into your life, who wants to know you and wants you to know him. He can do that. And if he can do that, he can do anything. All right? Isn't that awesome? Yeah? They're pictures taken from the Hubble telescope, and there's loads of them online. But this is just, you know, and he also made the stars. So, next slide. This is a song that we sing sometimes, and I think it's called Servant King. Yeah. Can't see the words too well at the top. Come see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space to cruel nails surrendered. Okay. This is who this man is, all right? This man who is responsible for creation, who is actually God, who's responsible for creation, who is king, but not as we know it, to quote from another series. All right. Who allowed himself to be put to death, to actually pay the price for our sins, so that we didn't have to carry them around any longer. Because he didn't want any of that stuff standing between him and you. All right? That's why he did it. He wanted all that mess out of the way so that he could know you and you could know him. Next one, please. So the question is, what would you lay down for him? We'd lay down a palm branch. Cheap, easy to come by, disposable. And actually, palm branches, once you've ripped them off, by the end of the day, they start to fade, the color goes out, they start to go brittle, don't they? You'd lay down your coat, possibly, you know, and go and get another one later on. Or you're going to lay down something a bit more expensive, which is everything. Next slide. So, Rachel, can you just come up? Because Rachel's had a little word this morning. And I just, for this last moment, just want to consider this childcare change is over. What surrender looks like. Just a moment. Because we're talking about laying down everything. And actually, you say, well, that's a bit scary. Am I going to lose out? So just share what you've got.
Yeah, so I was just putting some clothes away this morning, and I'd got a new pack of socks. And I always just buy the same sort of socks. I just buy black little ankle socks, mainly because I think our washing machine eats them, and I can never find pairs of matching socks. And I just felt God say, he was just speaking to me in that moment, and I'm just going to open this. And God said to me, he says, I want to rewrite your default. You know, we all have behaviours and like default settings, don't we? And often these are things that we're not even aware of. So me with my little black socks. And maybe sometimes, you know when you're in the car and you're driving and you're just on automatic and you're going somewhere and it's not even where you planned to go. Or even little things like, you know, when you put the washing machine on, I always just use the same program, even though my washer's got about 50 different settings. And so they're all just little practical things. But how much more do we do that in our minds, in our thinking, in our emotions? We have these kind of default settings, these default patterns of thinking and behavior. And sometimes these things are so deep that we're not even aware that they're there. We don't know where they come from, or how they started, or why we even do them. And Kevin's been sharing this morning, hasn't he, about what Jesus can do. And the Bible talks about God renewing our mind. You know, you've probably read that bit in Romans, you know, about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And, you know, we're often not aware of these little default settings that we have. But, you know, I believe God wants to put his finger on areas of our lives where there's things that are just settings that we've put in that are just not of him. He wants to rewrite some of those things. He wants to make a new normal in you. And, you know, I'm not going to rush out and buy multicoloured socks. I'm really not, because, you know, I'd just be wearing odd socks all the time. But actually, for me, the question is, God, what in me is a default setting that's not of you? What do you want to change in me? What do you want to rewrite in me? Because I just want to surrender to you and do life your way.
Thanks. So if you come to me afterwards, I'll tell you when Rachel's birthday is and you can get her some multicoloured socks. nothing. So, and for me, actually, I used to be just kind of a nice... I used to be nice, didn't I, Carol? Yeah. Still am. Just kind of normal, sort of bloke. I was Christian, but just nice and normal. And, sorry? I have. Well, in some senses, I've been normal. And just, like, boring and totally ineffective, you know? Until actually 2 or 3 years ago, actually God challenged me. And could I actually say to him, you can do anything you want? And from that point, things just changed completely. And my defaults in the past, with looking at defaults, was, I don't know, I just sit and watch telly to pass me time, not lots of wrong stuff. I was totally absorbed in the newspaper and politics. I used to get the Telegraph. And I felt God speaking to me about just cutting that down, about stopping getting the paper. this is funny. because this is what, so after all my work and so on, I'd just sit and I'd read the paper and I'd read cover to cover, and I can't say I gained anything from it particularly, because it just goes on and on and on and on. And I felt God saying, actually stop. So I stopped the weekly one and kept the weekend, which is like Abraham when God said, go to land, I'm going to show you, and he takes his father-in-law with him, and they stop halfway. And then actually felt God saying, no, come on. So, and honestly, you might be shocked. You might think it's utterly irresponsible, but I have no real clue about what's going on with Brexit. I've got a lot of clue about what God's like and what he's doing and what he wants to do in this country, and I'm quite cool with that. I'm not stressed about Brexit and stuff like that. I used to listen to The Archers. I mean, how sad is that? Really, that is so sad. And the thing about The Archers is, I mean, I used to listen to The Archers and then I went to the Middle East for 5 years and came back, listened to The Archers, and I'd miss nothing. Same people, same stuff, different actors in one or two cases, but that's it, you know? What am I filling my head with? What am I filling my life with? And actually, the point when I said to God, you can do anything. You didn't have anything, you know. Just his stuff is far more important. Worship is just important. At night I go to bed with YouTube. You know, some good stuff on there, some brilliant stuff on there, you know. So there's just a whole thing about adjusting our default. The second last slide, please, and then the band can get ready to sprint from their seats. This is what surrender looks like. You will be gentle, caring, strong, powerful. You will be a healer of the sick. You will be a restorer of minds and bodies. You will be fun to be with. You'll be compassionate. You'll be committed to people. You will be a complete disregarder of tradition, and that's fun. You'll be a fierce defender of the poor. You'll possess an enormous father's heart or a mother's heart. You'll be able to do outstanding miracles that always point to the love of Father God. You will be outrageous. You will be, it's a choice, but it's good. You'll be full of grace, mercy, and truth. You will be humble. You will have love in your heart for all people, which is a God-inspired thing that doesn't wear out at 6 o'clock when you think it's time to go home. You will be trustworthy and faithful and much, much more. And would somebody like me to answer their phone for them? I'll answer it if you want, Catherine. It's all right. I can talk. Mine was going off before. So last slide. And where's the band? Sprint, I said. Come on. So this is your last song, and this is what it's about. This is what surrender looks like. So I'll get up close so I can read it better. It's a bit smudgy on there. But come away with me. You know this song? Yeah? Come away with me. Come away with me. It's never too late. You know? And if you think, well, I've only ever heard about Jesus and that's all, it's not too late. Thank you, Teddy. If you're just an acquaintance, you've met him, but it's never gone much further. You don't know him. It's never too late. It's not too late. It's not too late for you. And this is what he says. I have a plan for you. I have a plan for you. It's going to be boring, churchy, Sundays only, and everybody's going to think you're miserable. No? It's going to be wild. All right? It's going to be great. It's going to be full of him. All right? So we're going to sing that. I just want to say, you know, if I'm talking about somebody you've never met, we've got some little booklets here, which are actually so easily to read because there's pictures in them, which is why I like them. But they are really good. And they're just filling some of the gaps to what I've said this morning. And I would just say, if you want one of these, they're free and they're here, and I'll just leave them. If you want to talk to me a bit more about this man who is a king, who is God, who loves you, who gave everything for you, then come and talk, all right? My challenge to you this morning, to everyone else, if you're an acquaintance and it's time to say, I'm going to give you everything, then I want you to come out in the front at some point in this song. If you just want to come out the front and just kind of register an intention with God, that's fine. Just come here. If you want somebody to pray with you, will you just go to one side or the other side and people will pray with you? All right? If you're much further down the road and you know him, but actually you know he's saying he wants to get closer and you want to get closer to him, just do the same. Just come. All right? Don't wait for Chris to finish because he'll just go until 2 o'clock. All right? Because he's persistent. So, you know, if God's speaking to you, quite seriously, is he speaking to you? Just shut your eyes for a minute. And just say to him, are you speaking to me? And if the answer to that is yes, you know where you are, you know how well you know him, you know if you don't know him. Just come and respond. And if you don't know me, you just want to come and find me afterwards and talk to me, or if you want to pick up a booklet, that's fine. Okay? So if we could just stand, we're going to sing this song.